So students, we are now going to begin with a very interesting chapter, which is Recruitment and Indian Perspective. So in this particular chapter, we are going to look at the current scenario, the developments that are happening in the Indian market, because most of us do operate from the Indian market. We will also look at certain challenges that are coming up in the post-pandemic. Yeah, so we have just, like, the pandemic is subsiding. So what are those challenges that Indian recruiters are currently encountering? And of course, another point of highlight would be, how is the social media shaping the recruitment landscape of the future? So a very interesting chapter we are going to begin with. So Indian organizations have accepted technologies like artificial intelligence, machine learning, big data intelligence, blockchain and IoT, that is Internet of Things, as Digital India Initiative. If you're aware, in the month of August this year, that's 2022, the World Economic Forum president had categorically made an in-person visit to India, and India became the fourth country to adapt, to the Industry 4.0 standards after the US, Japan and China. So it's a proud moment. And as we speak, India has also assumed leadership. So our Prime Minister Modi is now the leader of the G20 nations, correct? So India is making great headway. It is making waves on the global level. Now, McKinsey Global Institute, which is a reputed research organization. So according to them, according to a report, latest report, India's technology opportunity, okay, is growing phenomenally. And this relates to transforming work, empowerment of the people, technology diffusion and adoption in India. And this has an immense potential to grow in the future years. And this will add a certain huge economic value of $550 billion to about $1 trillion, a whopping $1 trillion per year by the year 2025, and create millions of well-paying productive jobs. So this is what is going to happen in the future, and it is going to augur well for all of us who take pride in being Indians. So this trend will refine even more over the coming years, and with increases in social and professional network populations, the competition to recruit will heat up further, requiring stronger shifts in employer and employee behavior. So today, if you were to see, there are many innovative practices adopted by organizations across India to be the employee of choice, correct? Many of them feature in the various Deloitte, PwC, Better Employee reports, and they show how creativity and innovation can play a major role in recruitment to cater to this ever-increasing competition. So the Indian recruitment scenario is facing rapidly changing challenges post the pandemic. So needless to say, we've mentioned this, we are still in the midst of a pandemic, although it's subsided, heavily. So our resources, of course, are finite, and we all need to do more with less. So we've experienced a lot of scarcity in those 2 years, correct? So we've come out by being resourceful. Now, how do we become more resourceful? By employing, digitalization and automation, which are supposed to be the game changers to meet up with the challenges on the way to Industry 4.0. So now, to give you a brief background, 1760 was the year when Industry 1.0 happened in the land of England, the country which colonized us. So people, artisans, potters, farmers, they all came out and they created collectively something called as industry. So during those times, industry was run by the virtue of manpower. As the years, went by, 1860 saw another revolution, a change in the version Industry 2.0, which was primarily run by steam and electricity. Another 100 years, progress, and we came to Industry 3.0, in which many other countries joined across the world, and we used the power of electronics and the computers. Correct. And today we are, you know, progressing towards Industry 4.0 with the technologies that were mentioned, like the use of drones, the use of robotics, the use of blockchain, the use of big data, the use of IoT. Correct. And therefore, it leads to more man-machine integration. So that is the virtue of Industry 4.0. It is essential to collect, understand, and use the massive amount of data created in the industrial Internet of Things or IIoT. So this is also connected well or synonymous with the big data. Because of so many websites, so many search engines, because of the innumerable number of blogs, vlogs, applications, software applications, there is no dearth of data. We are literally sitting on a landmine of data which needs to be channelized to get better recruitment practices. So a joint report, let's do some more, you know, fact-finding analysis. A joint report by the title of Future of Jobs in India, commissioned by the FICCI and NASSCOM, two reputed Indian, you know, agencies, they have revealed interesting data. 9% of India's 600 million estimated workforce will be deployed in new jobs that do not exist today. How wonderful that would be, right? So there is so much of novelty coming our way. So previously, you know, jobs which were imaginary or they were not a part of reality will become a reality. And this will be enabled by automation. So this automation of work, you know, is now becoming a reality. It will create demands for newer jobs, newer niches, and more technical skills. At the same time, demand for jobs that require emotional intelligence, social skills, and creativity will also rise. So see, there is a paradox created here, students. A paradox is like two opposing things happening similarly or at the same time, but that is the virtue of the Industry 4.0. So where there is a rise in the technology, there is also a rise in the human competencies, as clearly seen over here. So while the job seekers can now look forward to better and more opportunities, the need is also to move from generic or traditional to new age skills to remain employable. So some new age skills probably might be, you know, as stated here, it's like data science understanding and mining of data, adherence or knowledge of cloud computing and practices like machine learning, artificial intelligence. It's also like IoT and IIoT, which we have discussed earlier, blockchain and cryptocurrency practices, as well as a key understanding of the human psyche. So if, you know, recruiters, HR professionals, production people, quality folks, R&D people are also, you know, experts at understanding the human psychology, what would be better. So there would be overall organic progression which can happen, you know, for us. So as we know, recruitment is an important part of an organization's human resource planning and their competitive strength. So competent human resources at the right positions in the organization are a vital resource and can be a core competency. So this is what is important, and this will be a make or break in the coming months and years. And this will provide a sort of a strategic edge or an advantage for those industries and for those companies in that industry to lead in the future. And like any industry or like any organizational function, the recruitment industry is also cyclical. It moves in cycles, it follows cycles of other industries to a large extent. So let's discover the current scenario. So we are progressing now from the introductory part of this chapter to the current scenario, especially from the Indian perspective. Yeah. So what are the major recruitment trends that are seen in maybe the last couple of years and the way forward? Correct. So prompted by the pandemic, the universal adoption of artificial intelligence, automation, and other advanced data sciences and technologies are currently influencing a new principle or a working paradigm in the Indian IT and various other industries. So here you can also, you know, broaden this definition, not just the Indian IT, but probably the IT services, FMCG, BFSI, manufacturing, heavy engineering, electronics, and so on. So it's widening the use of technology and influence. And of course, when we were in the grips of the pandemic, we've seen how we have overcome it. So technology has been a major proponent in helping us overcome this problem, correct? So as the metaverse, now I'm sure we are all aware of the metaverse, correct? Which is the virtual version of Facebook, which is being launched, which is being worked upon by Mark Zuckerberg and company. Okay, and the Web 3.0 technologies. So of course, Web 1.0, 2.0, like industry 1.0, now we are in Web 3.0 technologies, correct? So as they spread their tentacles in all directions, as they grow in all directions, their impact can be witnessed in the way other industries are operating and conducting their business. So the HR industry has responded well to these changes that are brewing in the IT industry and by reimagining tech hiring practices for the future. So since IT is a cutting edge industry, it is leading, and we have the other industries follow as well, as explained in the previous slide. So compelled by constant crunch of talent in India, recruiters are adopting unconventional hiring policies to support this frenzy. So what is happening is skilled jobs are still, you know, much desirable. They are not as freely available as the blue collar jobs, correct? Hence, recruiters who once religiously relied upon resumes are now approaching talents on the multiverse, the metaverse, on LinkedIn and GitHub. So these are some non-conventional places where talent is available, not just as active, you know, candidates, but also as passive candidates. And skillful recruiters are making the most use of this particular talent. So enticed by the accelerated hiring velocity and diminishing costs of the Web 3.0 technologies, the HR industry is embracing new technologies and hiring policies for the Indian IT industry. A recent study report research highlights that talent acquisition is likely to be a challenge for recruiters due to rapidly changing economic, demographic, technological, and digital factors. If you notice, people are also leaving the country. So they aspire for jobs in Europe, in the US, Silicon Valley being the preferred location of, you know, choice by Indian entrepreneurs, Indian IT people. Many of the Japanese organizations, German organizations are the companies of choice for people from manufacturing and heavy engineering. So recruiters are currently also faced by this challenge that the Indians are, the talent leaves the shores and you are left with, the people who do not want to leave. So you are left with those limited choices. So the Indian job scene is set to undergo a kind of a radical transformation from the year 2025 with the stabilization of emergent technologies. So if you remember, I had made a mention in the very first slide about the World Economic Forum chief coming to India, and a plethora of technologies are in their infancy now. So as the technologies stabilize and mature, we will see new jobs being created in the Indian landscape. The recruitment agency, the Indian industry has a significant advantage because of the products it promotes, that is the skilled manpower. Since India has a young population, and even though a lot of talented people leave the Indian shores, we still do not have a dearth of manpower like many countries like Japan. So we have a young population, we have continuous waves of people graduating from reputed institutions and joining the industry. So for any organization in any kind of economy, skilled manpower is absolutely essential. And luckily, India still has a lot of young people to supply to meet the rising demands. Over here, we have enlisted four major recruitment trends, which will be discussed in detail in the upcoming slides. The first is automation of recruitment. So how recruitment is reaching automation in India specifically. Creation of job-ready workforce in the coming years. Just-in-time hiring, an interesting concept. And of course, e-recruitments. So these major trends will be discussed in the upcoming slides for us. So the first one is the automation of recruitment. So recruiters will have to consider deploying automated recruiting technologies, and of course, what best? The use of ATS, which has already been, you know, explained in detail in the previous chapter. We've also looked at the AI-driven recruitment platforms to reduce the time spent on initial screening and instead focus on interviews to select the right candidate. So there has been an upheaval in the technology to reduce manual labor, to increase automation, and again reduce repetitions and redundancies in this domain. The next point or a major trend is going to be the creation of a job-ready workforce. Now in India, this is a common point of observation from many experts. It also is commonplace on the social media that despite years of education, students in India are not equipped with the real-world industry skills. Now many countries in the world like Japan, Ireland, Germany, US have a contrary perspective to education. They impart real-world industry skills, but India as a developing nation is still lagging behind. So this lacuna has to be covered with a revision in the present curriculum or the syllabus, which lacks inclusion of practical trainings and knowledge as well as soft skills. Case in point, whenever I go and train in engineering colleges, whenever I conduct workshops in the various graduation level colleges, soft skills are seen as something which is lacking, correct? And there is also a lack of vocational skills. It is more of a theoretical curriculum that is currently there. So this creates a sort of a skill gap, and because of our earlier practices, this is sort of persistent. So recruiters, they find it difficult to induct an employable workforce. So we need to institutionalize change. We need to make training sessions, we need to integrate practical trainings, and we need to integrate practical, elements of learning in the current syllabus. The next is just-in-time hiring. So today, the key focus of talent acquisition has changed from hiring generic skilled resources as strategic buffers to meet future ramp-ups to hiring just-in-time based on business demand. So a very good example which supports this statement is the just-in-time softwares that we have, the plug-and-play cloud platforms, which help us integrate with the help of AI and big data this particular process. So like in manufacturing, this word comes from manufacturing, correct, specifically from Japanese companies like Toyota, where they believe in the lean process of manufacturing. So they get the inventory, the resources just in time to create vehicles which are ordered. So they are only made to order. There is no inventory lying in the warehouse. Similarly, we don't want too many people on the bench in an IT environment, or we don't want additional people as operators. We want those people who will be working optimally. So just-in-time hiring is now becoming popular in India. What this does is it ensures that lead times are reduced for new employees and costs are reduced for the company since they are not maintaining a bench. So bench is people who are not utilized on a productive project. So they don't give a certain return on investment in the current or the present situation. The next one is e-recruitment. So many big organizations use the internet as a source of recruitment. E-recruitment is the use of technology to assist the recruitment process. They advertise job vacancies through the World Wide Web. So they may have a standard website. Most of the popular organizations, the seasoned organizations, have their own websites. Many have a presence on the social media as well, on blog sites as well. So the job seekers send their applications through email. Alternatively, job seekers place their profiles on the internet or the World Wide Web, which can be drawn by prospective. So it can be pulled by prospective employers, employers, depending upon their requirements. Now let's look at the advantages of e-recruitment. One of the most important is, of course, low cost. So as is associated with anything on the internet, the recruitment practices also are relatively less costlier than conventional brick and mortar means. There are, of course, no intermediaries, like we spoke about the startup which had Mr. ABC as the recruitment professional, correct, in the previous chapter, where they were able to, with the help of a web-based lightweight client software, pulling a lot of proper resumes, appropriate resumes, without the help of any employment agency, employment exchange, or a need to go to the campus. Reduction in time for recruitment, since you don't physically go anywhere, you are not dealing with intermediaries, so there is also a reduction in the time. You also get multiple options sent to you directly at your desktop or your laptop. Of course, all this creates, along with the help of AI, recruitment of the right type. So there is a closer fitment to your need, because you are researching, along with you is the friend AI, which is also doing the parsing and the researching. And of course, increased efficiency because of all these particular factors. Now let us come to the topic of the challenges that HR face in India. So what are those? So HR professionals handling the recruitment function of organizations are constantly facing new challenges as the years pass by. The biggest challenge for such professionals is to source or recruit the best people or potential candidates for the organization. Recruiters are thereby searching for newer ways to reach candidates more quickly than ever before. As you're aware, the world that we are living in is known as the VUCA world. And India is not an exception. India is a part of the VUCA world. So a world that is volatile, a world full of uncertainty, a world which has got its complexities, and it is also ambiguous. So the recruitment professionals, like any other professionals from various domains, are subjected to this uncertainty and complexity. So thus they present themselves as challenges. Of course, what has added to the VUCA world, which already existed a couple of decades ago, is the pandemic, and it has further intensified the search for skilled technical talent as it has accelerated digitalization by years. So we are talking about Industry 4.0, IIoT 3.0. So we need professionals to support these technologies as well, correct? So if people are oblivious of these technologies, how can India progress to and truly be a part of the 4.0 revolution? So according to the Indian Staffing Federation, the Indian IT and the IT services industry intends to hire roughly anywhere about 8 lakhs to 10 lakh technical talent. That is 800,000 to a million people by the year 2023, which is just around the corner. Unfortunately, the supply of tech talent falls short of demand by many folds in the current talent market, which I had already made a mention of. Now, what is happening? The Indian landscape is grappling with a talent crunch and record high attrition. So if people are getting an opportunity to go abroad, they will leave India and go abroad for better opportunities. So thus, attrition, or the great resignation as it's known, can also undermine the performance of the Indian industries, not just IT or ITES, but also the manufacturing and other industries. Thus, the Indian IT industry is in quest for a new talent and hiring strategy set. So, texting is one way to do that. So, respondents to a recent Indian survey have texted candidates and applicants, and 88% report positive feedback from job seekers. Now, may seem as a manual process, but one to many texts can be sent with the help of your ATS and parsing software applications. Recruiters and job seekers both value their time, so the need for faster hiring has made text messages and chats even more important than traditional communication channels like email or phone call. So, many a times, as a consultant, I do get text messages or I do get WhatsApp messages from many recruiters, from many consulting organizations to join them on some experience projects. So this is now becoming the communication vehicle of choice for many recruitment professionals in India. So in an already saturated job market where practices like poaching and raiding are gaining momentum, of course we've been through these terms before, correct? So HR professionals are constantly facing new challenges in one of their most important functions, that is recruitment. So hiring candidates with non-traditional educational backgrounds has also become increasingly common. So if you remember, one of the discussion points was of certain organizations which never deviated from educational eligibility. So they were always, especially some IT organizations, the reputed ones, they never wavered from having a background of a graduation. But even many of those organizations now endeavor to seek people with alternate certifications. They can also be from other streams of graduation or education. So, in order to encounter or in order to kind of reduce poaching and raiding, these sort of practices are also being sought after by the HR professionals. Recruiters are considering things like self-education, online schooling, certification programs, and experience when identifying potential employees. For example, in one of the organizations that I recently trained for, there was a set of employees who were working as software developers, and they were not conventional BE graduates, or they were not BCS or MCS graduates, but they had a commerce degree, but they had done certification and they had excelled in programming, and they had also held jobs earlier prior to their working in the organization that I had been to. So, you can see that people with non-traditional education or something different can also represent organizations if they have a flair for that particular occupation or trade. Employers are also investing in more training programs to groom their employees to have the skill sets needed to tackle jobs of the future. So, there are various instances where people are proficient in the C and Java language and they are being trained in-house to become more proficient at the new languages such as Python and other languages. So they have to face and conquer various challenges to find best candidates for their organization. So what they do is they either have in-house training or, like cited over here, they also have these people with non-traditional backgrounds. So, after discussing certain challenges, let's look at a few major ones which have been recently identified as a part of some research and survey. So these are enlisted here and we will discuss them at length in the upcoming slides. So one of the major challenges is the adaptability to globalization. So homegrown Indians, who have studied their entire life over here, they find it as a major challenge to adapt to the globalization. Again, these can be also the recruitment professionals who are working for their organizations. The next part is lack of motivation on the part of the recruitment professionals. So since recruitment is a time-consuming, complex process, it also is a tiring process. Thus, many a times people feel a burnout, they feel lack of motivation. The next is process analysis. So failure to adhere to processes, failure to understand the proper implications of the SOPs and SLAs also is a major challenge. And of course, strategic prioritization to what part of recruitment that needs to be done is another challenge. As discussed, let's look at each in detail. So the first is, of course, adaptability to globalization. So the human resource professionals are expected and required to keep in tune with the changing times. And of course, India is, it's not something that can operate in a silo, right? So India is connected and of course dependent upon the developments that happen across the globe. So we have to keep in touch with the globe. So HR should maintain the timeliness of the process. They should understand other nuances of globalization as well. The next is the lack of motivation. So again, as I had mentioned briefly, so it's an intensive process. It can also be a thankless job. It can also be kind of rigorous. So even if the organization is achieving results, the recruitment and the HR department are not thanked for recruiting the right employees and performers. So many times it's like a by default sort of a job. So you have to, do your job well. And of course, there's not much appreciation coming your way. Now this would lead to a decline in the levels of motivation since it's purely a thankless job. The third challenge that is encountered and is seen as a major challenge is that of process analysis. So the immediacy and the speed of the recruitment process are the main concerns of HR in recruitment. So the process should be flexible, adaptive, and responsive to the immediate requirements. The recruitment process should also be cost effective. So it introduces certain paradoxes, if you notice, and makes the life of recruitment professionals quite difficult. So although you need cost-effective solutions, you still need agility, you need flexibility, you need to use new technology, and you need the best-in-class recruits for your processes. So this is kind of slightly contradictory, and a fine balance has to be created by recruitment professionals to adhere to such nuances in the basic processes. The last one is the strategic prioritization. The emerging new systems are both an opportunity as well as a challenge for the HR professionals. Correct? Because of course, there are a lot of new practices like cloud computing based systems. We've got the ATS, correct? We've got a parsing software. So every professional is supposed to be upgraded, upskilled to man these functions as an end user. Therefore, reviewing staffing needs and prioritizing the tasks to meet the changes in the market has become a challenge for the recruitment professionals. Another thing is, the ongoing pandemic has also changed the landscape and has mandated use of newer technologies that we had mentioned earlier and can become a prioritization challenge. Now let's look at the next broad or important topic that needs to be covered here in the sixth chapter, which is the role of social media in the Indian recruitment context. So social media can be used to create or strengthen the brand and to attract talent to the organization. In fact, we've discussed at length how this is done. So, today online reputation matters as much as the brick and mortar reputation of any organization. They cannot be separated. So social media platforms, being informal, can help recruiters reach out to an audience who may not be aware of vacancies through other routes. For example, let's say Mr. Kumar, all right, let's think of a gentleman who's about 23 years of age, who's just moved out of college and lives in, let's say, Noida. Now he has, as a young professional, as a millionaire who's born in the year 1999, let's say, he's 23 years, right? So he does not read the newspapers conventionally. He does not believe in use of paper. He does not subscribe to any magazines, and his majority of the time is spent on the social media platforms. Like, he is constantly on Instagram. He listens to, you know, podcasts. He views YouTube prominently. He's on Facebook. So such a person, if you know, an advertisement is sent on the Times of India in the classifieds, he's of course not going to read it, correct? Or if he doesn't subscribe to any of the magazines like the Time magazine, and if the organization is, you know, they are sending out advertisements, he may not, you know, view them. So in this context, social media can be used. So he might log into a LinkedIn. He might have a LinkedIn account. So he might, you know, through a reference, check about this organization. He might look at a few blogs from the organization. He might visit their website. So new age professionals, Generation Y, the millennials, people born post the 95s or 2000s, they need to be addressed in a different way. And social media would definitely come to the rescue. So organizations are at different stages in their use of social media for branding and recruitment. Now, as we speak, a wide, you know, gamut of organizations, a wide range of organizations are already seasoned and matured in their use of the social media. From the recruiter's perspective, one of the reasons why social media has emerged as an important tool for recruitment is its power to offer them a broad perspective about the candidate. So they probably can view the candidate, which is not possible in a resume. So in a resume, you have a passport size photograph, but here you can view the candidate. So you can see the candidate, you can view them in their casual attire, you can view them with their friends, you can look at the places that the candidates frequently go to. So it gives you more information about the candidate, especially when it comes to Instagram, it comes to Twitter, it comes to Facebook. You can also have another defined perspective, a very different perspective of the same candidate when their profile is on LinkedIn, correct? So see how broad a perspective can be generated and the true information would come out about this candidate. It tends to bring forth certain traits and personalities of a candidate which may not be reflected in the resume. So let's talk about a young girl, okay? Let's call her as Kumari. So Kumari is, she belongs to Bangalore. She's about 22 years old and she was born in the year 2000. Now, a professional organization from Hyderabad is interested in Kumari's profile, and apart from the LinkedIn, they've skimmed through a profile which was presented on Facebook. So they became friends with her. They also started following her on Instagram. Now they could see that Kumari is a person who loves animals. She's a pet friendly person, correct? She represents her college. So she's just left college now, but she still is in touch with her college for some social endeavors and is looking for an organization where she could spend a few years and could grow organically. So how wonderful would that be to know these things before, you know, you go ahead and end up recruiting people like Kumari. So it gives you a good idea of what sort of a person she is and how well would she perform in her own organization if she were to be recruited. Thank you.